we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello, welcome back to another News Quiz programme, and our opener this week is a grim warning taken from the classified ad section of the Southend Evening Echo.
For sale, £20, triple X adult video film, bought as joke, must sell, eyesight fading.
This is J.B. Goodman from Battlesbridge was the listener who spotted that gem. And without further ado, we move on to our panel. To my right, the fading eyes of Private Eyes Richard Ingrams. Can you see me, Richard?
No, but I can hear you.
Oh, bad luck. And his partner this week is the Daily Telegraph's Victoria Mather. To my left, we find another lady, the BBC's own Frances Coverdale, and her team captain, the Mussolini of the listener. It's Alan Corran. Round one now, and Charles and Elizabeth Martin of Godalming have sent us this from the Surrey Advertiser.
The prize draw organised by the Godalming Lions Club was made last Friday evening. The vicar of Godalming, the Reverend Michael Brown, picked prize winners out of a plastic bin.
And turning straight to the Reverend Ingrams with the first and undoubtedly the seediest question of the week, Richard, whose frank confession got up the BBC's nose?
I'm sorry, the question was drowned with unseemly laughter from the audience. So I only caught the word frank. Can it be a libelous and deeply distasteful reference to the BBC's own Mr. Boff?
Yes. It can.
And how distressing. But he confessed to the most ghastly things of sniffing coke and all this manner of depravity.
I totally missed this story, Richard. This is what? A totally ghastly story about how he was very nearly deprived of his Mr. Clean Up TV Award Mary Whitehouse.
Really?
He only got it 5 weeks ago.
Oh.
But in view of the very, very sad circumstances surrounding his story in the News of the World, she's been locked in debate, according to Daily Mirror, and is going to be allowed to keep it.
Oh, that's very good.
Well, that is good news. We're all glad to hear that.
He can have his coke and eat it.
It was Frank Boff, of course, who confessed this week to being partial to hallucinogenic drugs, which explains a lot about his taste in jumpers. Boff revealed that on many occasions he presented BBC's breakfast time immediately after undergoing 8 hours of solid coke sniffing and voyeuristic sex. And the day shift was just as bad.
Wonderful the way the BBC looks after its own, isn't it? Barry Took exposed.
What you get up to after the show, Barry?
Unfortunately, what I get up to is... And we're delighted to welcome Victoria Mather of the Daily Telegraph to the programme with the big international diplomacy question of the week. Victoria, who delivered some dotty lines to sign on?
Simple, this must be the shoulder-pad to shoulder-pad story. And if it isn't, why isn't it? This must be Nancy Reagan and Reza Gorbachev holding hands.
Well, it isn't, actually. It's their... nearly.
Why not?
But it's their husbands.
Oh, this is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid story.
That's right.
Wild West, end written on back. That sort of thing.
That sort of thing. Well, yes. I think we'll grasp the general principle involved.
Evil Empire.
Never know.
Yes.
Dinner in the Dachau.
Yes.
Nothing could be finer.
That's
woo,
right.
Woo, 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 in Carolina.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, yeah. These Telegraph people find it hard to form complete sentences.
Yeah. See, Peter Simple is not the only one. It's all about the play-by of the Eastern world Ronald Reagan, the great white hopeless, who ingratiated himself to Muscovites with his lovable old buffoon act, hitherto referred to as his foreign policy. After proclaiming that the Soviets should demolish the Berlin Wall, Reagan then spent a week dropping enough bricks to rebuild it. And staying on the subject, William Matthews of Bounds Green provides us with this pertinent quote from the Daily Telegraph.
The Soviet press has condemned Mr. Reagan's speech on Monday calling for greater freedom of the written and spoken word as inaccurate. However, it failed to report what he actually said.
And we're also very pleased to see Frances Coverdale on the programme. And we have another big tabloid story for you, Frances. Why have you a fat chance of losing pounds slimming? It's about a young slimmer who did something that she oughtn't to have done.
Ate a great deal and actually lost more weight. That's, I mean, sir, we've had that question every year for the past 12. It's that one.
We
dug it out of the yellowing files.
Yeah, could you give me another clue?
No, that's the answer.
I'll give you the answer, then you can tell me, and then we'll give you a few answers.
Give us the answer and see how close we've got.
I'm afraid I can't really help you. It's about the former Young Slimmer of the Year, Michelle Deacon, who admitted accepting money to pretend that her 12-stone weight loss was caused by a jar of Miracle Slimming granules. After coming clean that she'd endorsed a worthless gimmick that produced nothing but wind, she's been appointed as Neil Kinnock's press agent.
What thing was that in?
The Lambeth and Streatham Comet. And now, Alan Curran, have we got some music for you? Well, that was a group called Anthrax. Not only that they were the hits, they sounded that they suffered from it. Alan, the question is, who's got a little comradely advice about banging your head?
I think I know this. I think this is the rumour put about in Russian newspapers that heavy metal music is bad for you. Part of the sort of subtext of Russian propaganda. If you listen to American music, your brains get addled.
That's absolutely right. The advice in question comes from a team of Russian scientists led by Moscow brain specialist Professor Bekhterova. I suppose it's a she. She says that heavy metal music is bad for the brain. It gets squeezed by the tight trousers. The professor says that you only have to look at the blank faces of rock fans to see that they've been completely brainwashed. The KGB have now hired Def Leppard to play at the Lubyanka. And the score at the end of round one is quite remarkably Alan and Francis 2, but Richard and Victoria in the lead with 4. Round two now, and a letter writer to the Aberdeen Evening Express who's getting quite agitated on the subject of road accidents.
I blame roads for accidents, particularly corners. Fast driving has nothing to do with it. I myself regularly drive at over 100 miles an hour and have only been fatally injured twice in 5 years.
We're much obliged to Mike Welsh of Aberdeen for that. And now a question which even Richard England should be able to answer. Richard, how did a little inside knowledge help to win the Derby?
Oh, yes, I do know. The winner of the Derby was given a few tips from Lester Piggott.
That's
from
right.
His cell.
Quite right. Yes. Jolly good. Yes. Very intelligent horse. To understand what Lester was saying.
I thought you were referring to me as a very intelligent
horse. No, I think you're a very intelligent horse. The answer is because jockey Ray Cochran, who won the Derby with 11-1 shot Kehazi this week, says that he couldn't have done it without vital advice from jailed champion jockey Lester Piggott. Lester told Cochran exactly what to do at every stage. Snow along when you're packing on the first day. Then take the position from the top of the hill at the halfway stage. And make a push 2 furlongs from home. Then launder the proceeds through a Liechtenstein bank account. Oh, wait a minute, there was a photo fit for second place. Anyway, Victoria, here's another one for you. Why are environmentalists throwing a wobbly over a slick adversary?
This is the killer blob as opposed to the killer salad. It is a killer slick of yuck that is moving steadily from Scandinavia towards our shores. It's killing fish. It's killing almost everything, actually.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, it's Robert Maxwell. Killer blob.
Anyway, you're quite right, Victoria. This story concerns a giant slick of killer jelly. I know. That's what I thought when I read it first. The story concerns a giant slick of killer jelly, hundreds of miles long, caused by pollution.
You remember the killer crab, Doctor?
Oh, I do.
Coming out of the toilets.
The great hairy claw. I remember it well. This story concerns a giant slick of killer jelly, however. Hundreds of miles long. Caused by pollution, which is floating towards the British coast, killing everything in its path.
Yes. Frank Boff.
Nothing is safe from the killer jelly.
Yeah,
Conservationists say that millions of North Sea fish have already been suffocated by the jelly. And if that doesn't get them, they're frozen to death by the ice cream. An item from the Leamington Journal now. It's restaurant menu, and it was sent to us by Anne Furse and Caroline Voss.
The Napton Bridge Inn, Napton, announces a special menu at £7.95 a head. Try our paella valenciana, a mixture of children and many different fish.
Covered in killer jelly, I've made it. Francis Coverdale.
I'll try and get
another
this
question for you. But first, some ringing in your ears. Well, that was called When Will You Make My Phone Ring? And the question is, Francis, who claims that it's an all-too-common cry?
Is he trying to say something about British Telecom and the new report?
Yes.
Saying that British Telecom haven't got any better since they were privatised.
That's right. Question referred to which magazine's report on British Telecom, which held it responsible for incompetent service, inadequate equipment and incorrect billing. In all, 647 Telecom subscribers were polled for their opinions. They would have polled more, but they couldn't get through. And now listener John Butcher sends us a quote perpetrated by right-wing campaigner Lady Olga Maitland and quoted in the Derby Evening Telegraph.
The document issued by the County Council about personal and social education is appalling. It contains many left-wing buzzwords like racism, nuclear arms, and education.
Yes, you can hear the buzz from here. And back we come with the grim inevitability of fate to Alan Corran. It's a religious one of sorts, Alan. Who saith that none shall race against others?
Irish racing nuns. Irish racing
says
nuns.
Says Francis Coverdale.
Sounds like
Sister Anne won by a halo.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
The nuns who took off their habits and put on riding clothes and raced through Ireland had a,
where
had a horse
race. This is not the naked nun streaker at Derby. Queen shot. I saw her throw off a halo.
And Sister Anne won by a halo.
That's right. This all concerns a horse race in Trim County Meath, aptly entitled The Convent Classic, which was actually won by a nun.
Most of them fell off.
Well, yes, they're not racing nuns. They're just a sort of...
Sorry, I've been relying on notes and shorthand. I mean, these are nuns that were ridden by people. These were nuns... riding...
No, no.
They were genuine nuns riding horses in a horse race.
Yes.
That's seven... enough nuns.
And the score at the halfway mark, Francis and Alan now 6, but Richard and Victoria still in the lead with 8. Round 3 now, and a statement of the obvious from ITV News.
Police investigating the murder of a man who was found battered and burnt to death in Epping Forest suspect that the killer may have had a grudge against him.
This is J.A. Rosser of Ingatestone, who should have been listening to the radio news, sent us that. And now, the second serious question of the week for Richard Ingrams. Richard, whose career is getting a lift in the shirt department?
Tammy.
A lift in the shirt department. It's to do with bras.
We know this
to do
is
with
about...
bras?
Yes, obviously.
It is not to do with bras. I'll pass it to the Alan Collins.
It is to do with Proctor. This is our old news quiz friend.
Yes.
Who has squeezed 2,000 quid out of a grateful government. And 100,000 quid out of even more grateful mates who don't have to see him around the corridors anymore. And he's opened this shirt shop.
Well, I wouldn't suppose that, yes.
Broad stripes. Button down collars. Tight waists. Crisp cuffs. Have you done that?
My God, I'm going to take a subscription out to the listener after that.
Oh, you wait till you see our boys' department. It's even better than Harvey Proctor's. But I think that's what it's about.
It's absolutely right. It's all about the ever-popular self-disciplinarian and butt-of-a-million-jokes, Harvey Proctor, who has announced that he's opening a shirt shop with the aid of a £2,000 grant. Harvey says he'll run the retail side himself while Grant will do the window displays. Victoria, here's your piece of music.
Thank you.
Victoria, who was judged to be Mr. Right this week?
Peter Wright?
Yes, indeed, Peter Wright.
Spycatcher?
Right.
Banned from bookshops?
Yes.
That's a terribly old story, isn't it?
No, it's come to life again this week.
Mm. Oh, but only on the inside pages.
Oh, well, I see, only on the inside pages.
They're allowing it to come out in Oz. That's the story, isn't it? Thatch can take it no further.
That's right.
Apart from God, she could appeal to God.
Oh, but she did that last week. Richard.
But God... God brought it in America anyway.
Did he not send an earthquake to consume all the copies?
No, just a tide of lethal jelly across the world.
Doctor, I think you could descend on the copies of the book.
Anyway, Francis, it's your turn again. Good. Who had a hand in an underhand handout?
The government?
Yes.
The DHSS? Yes.
I don't know what...
Money which didn't go to poor pensioners and people claiming their DHHS because of a computer error was given instead to the ITV telethon.
Well, that sounds brilliant. I mean, even if it's not the answer, I'll give you two...
Oh, points. Isn't it?
Yeah, I know it is the answer.
By this, but Took's brain...
Yes, I mean, I know it's the right answer, and you did it jolly well. 2 points. It still refers to £1 million in other people's unemployment benefit handed over by Government Minister Nicholas Scott to the ITV telethon appeal. The only trouble is that Michael Aspel has to go and sign for the money every fortnight. I'll turn again. Who's batting on under a ghostly nom de plume?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah.
I know two things about this. One of them, it's not about the owl that fell through the metro sunroof on the M4, is it? It's a very good story, that. Right? The woman's name was Shirley Breeze. You don't forget the name of women like that. You could respond to an owl in their lap in a car. What was it? Batting? This must be a South African cricketer who's playing here under a fake name.
No, it's actually Mike Gatting. Oh.
Ah. Under a nom de plume.
Yeah. I'll tell you the story. It's Mike Gatting, captain of the English debating 11, who has been stopped by the selectors from publishing a chapter in his book, Leading from the Front. Rather than have an incomplete account, Gatting removed his name from the book and published it in the full name of his ghostwriter, Angela Patmore. Judging by his performance in the first innings of the test, it's a pity she didn't bat for him as well. In the score at the end of round three, Alan and Francis gaining with 9, but Richard and Victoria hanging on with 10. Round 4 now, which we begin with news of the crisis in Britain's schools.
A recent survey by the Professional Association of Teachers suggests that 32% of teachers have been attacked by pupils at some stage of their careers. But Education Secretary Kenneth Baker ruled out any return to capital punishment as a solution.
The Guardian at its best there, thanks to Keith Ross of Cheltenham. And now we continue with some music which we've chosen specially for Richard Ingram's. Believe it or not, was called School's Out, sung by Alice Cooper, a young woman I know. Richard, who's failed to get their claws into school morals?
I think those Russian people were right about that sort of music. I think it does damage the brain.
Do you know?
We know it.
It's
Clause 28.
It is Clause 28. Yes.
Clause 28, it appears, doesn't cover schools. Because schools are run by school governors, not by the local authorities.
Right, absolutely
and
right.
And Clause 28 only applies to local authorities. We've got our point back.
Very good. Well done, Francis Coverdale. It is the government who, it transpires, have made a major blunder with their Clause 28 legislation. It seems that due to an error in the drafting of the bill, schools are exempt from the new law, which was brought in specifically to give children a moral upbringing. The law will apply, however, to other public bodies connected with children, such as children's television. So Frank Boff won't be getting a job on Blue Peter. A final question for Victoria now. It's a story, in fact, from the Sunday papers. Victoria, can you tell us about the computer with no holds barred when it comes to criticism? Barred as in the Bard of Avon.
Must be desperate.
Computer that writes Shakespeare.
Well, it's a computer... comment subjective.
It's going to write criticism of Shakespeare's plays.
That's it.
This is going to be the critics of the future.
Yes, and it doesn't sound terribly cheerful. It
sounds critical to me.
Well, it's awful, really. The answer is, I'm absolutely right to get your marks for it, as a new script-checking American computer which actually reads your copy and comments on the style of writing. Its first victim, apparently, was William Shakespeare, whose work has been derided by the machine, particularly his device of using man where person would do. The makers then apparently fed it the speeches of Neil Kinnock, and he got 0 out of 10. But the metallic beast declared that the speeches of Mrs. Thatcher were a model of style and brevity. Then they fed it Clause 28, and it exploded. Well, if British Rail were to be fed in, they'd undoubtedly come last. Here's a spokesman making excuses again, spotted this time by Graham and Fran Jones in The Herald.
There will be more trains running on the Harpenden line. It's just that there will appear to be less because of their frequency.
A long-running sports story now, instalment 27 for Francis Coverdale. Why did the Germans give the boot to the Wild Rovers?
Bristol Rovers.
Right.
In Mannheim.
Right.
The Bristol Rovers youth team were playing in Mannheim and were accused of pulling up daffodils. And they say they didn't do it.
Quite right.
Wondering if it often happens in Mannheim that an English football team is mistaken for something else. What are the people in Mannheim like? They all knee one another in the groin all day long in Mannheim. Just pluck out any 11 and call it an English football team. Yes. Baffles me.
I can't speak for the Mannheim police, but it is about them. They arrested the entire Bristol Rovers youth team in the middle of their German tour for repeated drunken violence, or as it's known in this country, association football. British hooligans complained that now they had no chance of getting into Europe because of the thoughtless actions of a few soccer players. For their part, Bristol Rovers said that there was no truth in the allegations, that their players had abused passers-by, pulled the heads off flowers and slept on park benches. Although they may have abused park benches, slept on the flowers, and pulled the heads off passers-by. And last of all in the competition, to Alan Corran, the maestro. Alan, who's planned to get their jollies abroad with a vicar and a hairdresser?
Ah. Oh. This is another story about Major Ron Buff. And the Holiday 88. It's about 88-year-old holidaymakers. They apparently go abroad with their noses full of substances and wearing fishnet tights and mistaking people for prostitutes that weren't going to be. It's about the holiday-making gerontocracy. And they take things abroad with them to ease their little trips. They have inflatable grannies and things. I didn't get all of this, nor would I repeat it if I had, but it's that. Duchess of York's uncle, Frank Buff, and all his holiday-making topless... Jolly means something. It's one of those acronyms, isn't it?
Yes, never mind. It's all about jollies, the name given by travel agents to jet-setting holidaymakers over 55 who are being offered special package tours, each with its own resident vicar and hairdresser. One is to cater for their spiritual and emotional needs, and the vicar to cope with the rest. And once again, another news quiz program has run its course, passed the finishing post, and trotted into the winner's enclosure with a victorious nun on its back. But we still have time for Richard Ingrams to regale us with a witty cutting that we hope will be a little better than last week's.
Better be careful what you say. I shall call you Daft Git again. This is an humorous advertisement from the Islington Chronicle for the Abbott School of Motoring, which says, first lesson, £4.95. We also do crash courses.
Very good. Victoria, what have you got for us?
I'd just like to tell you that a jolly, like my team partner, Mr. Richard Ingrams, is a jet-setting oldie with lots of loot.
Very good. That's me. That's me.
Now, I naturally have a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
Good heavens.
Which is that letters postmarked Downpatrick, County Down, and containing £10 and £50 notes are mystifying people in the Newbury area. A police spokesman said yesterday, it appears someone in Ireland is trying to start a chain letter but has forgotten to enclose the instructions.
Oh, it's better than the creeping tide of jelly. Francis, what have you got for us?
This is a cutting from the Manx Independent. Constable Peter Young said that he had visited Mrs. Neen's home and found two mongrel dogs answering Nigel Mansell's description. Both had mud on them, but there was no sign of blood.
Very good. Alan, when you've stopped rummaging in...
I've lost my funny one. I mean, I either read you a fiver...
Thank God he said that. I wonder what he was going to say. I mean, when a man sits there and lost my...
Can I do you the other one? Well, I've got the one from the Blue Book from the Sierra Leone Herald. It says, replying to the magistrate, Gayton Nzokwe said that he had never practiced black magic. He had cut off the head of his neighbour's dog and nailed it to the fence because he was sick and tired of finding muck on his doorstep.
He told
the court, I wanted to teach it a lesson it would never forget.
The score at the end of the contest is an amazing turnaround. Because Richard and Victoria have scored 11, but Francis and Alan are victorious with 14. And we leave you with the civil service at its best and an item spotted by Kevin Green in the Department of Health's list of publications.
Health Service Catering Hygiene, 75 pages, £5.20, third edition. This is in fact the fourth edition, recognisable by the cover, which reads second edition.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Victoria Mather, Alan Corran and Francis Coverdale. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The programme was written and compiled by John Langdon with the producer, Harry Thompson.